Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
On Kaya959.
With Pimelo Mudine.
What's yours?
What's yours?
Okay, so we have been talking about this conversation we're about to have on VAT increases, or maybe a possible VAT increase may not happen, but we need to be prepared. And lots of you, I think, have questions. I had a conversation with Sumitra earlier where we're all speculating, but the nub of the issue here is that if you're running a business and, you know, you just want to do things by the book, what do you get to do? I have tax practitioner and CEO of NetVest, Busisiwe Mdletshe, who is in studio with me to take your questions. And let me tell you now, we are told many of you have already started calling. It's a good time to do that. So start calling in now, 086-000-959. You can also send voice notes on 063-688-0959. So we're going to just walk through it. Like, for me, I'm going to walk through it like a two-year-old so that I get to understand what's happening. Busisiwe, thank you so much for coming in. Good evening.
Good evening, Pamela, and thank you for having me.
Okay, so maybe let's quickly get out the way so the people know why we asked you to come in. Just maybe give me a quick brief on NetVest and what it does.
So NetVest is an accounting firm. Mm-hmm. It's based in Sandton, so we provide accounting and tax services. Mm-hmm. When it comes to taxes, we render like tax planning services where we advise you on the best ways on how to save tax before you actually submit your tax return.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you people help us walk through the journey so that we don't find ourselves in problems with the tax man, essentially.
Exactly. And that is called tax avoidance, which is permissible and it's legal, not tax evasion.
I get you. By the end of this, I think we'll all be tax experts. So we hope you're going to take us through this. So we obviously are having this conversation because everybody's talking about the 1st of May. First of all, we don't know what's going to happen on the 1st of May. But when the minister presented the budget, there are things that you guys were able to work with alongside what the minister presented. And maybe we're going to work with that for now until things happen the way they happen. Talk us through, let's just maybe start with some of the things that you're able to talk us through. Talk us through the possibility of a VAT increase. What then happens on the 1st of May?
What happens on the 1st of May, if we have this VAT increase, it will mean that if you're running a business and you are registered for VAT, you'll have to impose VAT at 15.5% on your taxable supplies. So these are standard rates at supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it means you'll have to change your accounting systems to have VAT at 15.5%. Because you can imagine, Pamela, if you go to a grocery shop and now you buy an item, when they scan it by the till, it would currently scan at 15%.
Mm-hmm.
But by the 1st of May, it will have to scan at 15.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're running a business and you have some of the zero-rated items in your shelves that have been added to the list now, so you'll have to add that into your accounting system as well. So that's when the buyers are buying, they shouldn't be charged VAT on items that will be now zero-rated by the first.
Yeah. I don't have the list with me now, but I know that with the new list, the proposed list, there are things, for instance, in that proposed list that are interesting for me. A chicken, not the entire chicken, parts of the chicken are zero rated. Am I right?
You are correct. Like, for example, they're talking of things like chicken heads, chicken feet, giblets, you know. All of those things would be zero-rated now. So they have been added to the list of zero-rated basket. Yeah.
So if I'm running a restaurant and in my food I sell chicken feet, I should be careful that I may not increase the chicken feet dish, but I can increase the other chicken dish.
That's correct, because it's like, you know, when you buy items like a basket of like groceries, mm-hmm. you'll have items that are standard rated and yeah. items that are zero rated. So the same goes for like now the supplier or the seller. Mm. When you are selling, you are supposed to charge your customer the applicable VAT rate, because otherwise you'll be charging them VAT on chicken feet while you're not supposed to be charging VAT on that one because it's now zero rated. So that's why now it's becoming, some people are saying it's going to be an administrative burden.
It is because businesses. Yeah. It is because if I run a business where, and I mean, it sounds funny, né? But work with me. If I run a business where my business is to sell hard body.
Yes.
In other words, I buy a full chicken or I'm raising chicken.
Yes.
And my business is to cut the chicken into pieces.
Yes.
Or not cut the chicken into pieces. Maybe I sell the hard body as a full hard body. Maybe I just clean it and all of that and I sell it as a full chicken. What must I do then? Because there are parts of the chicken that are zero rated and there are parts of the chicken that are not zero rated.
Certainly, and that's where it gets to be complicated, because now you obviously have one product that will
yes.
have to be, you know, separated into different sort of supplies, because now you have a zero rated supply and a standard rated supply. But I guess what the government is trying to do here, Pamela, is trying to sort of help the vulnerable populations, because they are saying they want these basic foods to be affordable to lower income groups.
It doesn't answer my question. I'm still selling hard body. I want to know le hard body am. What do I do?
Yes.
Now, as a full chicken.
Yes. But you are a VAT vendor, right?
Yeah.
You are a business.
Yeah.
You are registered for VAT and you must be charging VAT at standard rate at
yes.
15%.
Yes.
Now you are selling this product that has two components,
yes.
which is standard rated
mm-hmm.
and the other one is zero rated.
Mm.
So now after you have sort of cut this chicken.
But I'm not cutting the chicken.
Now, you by hard body, you mean it's
the full chicken. That's what I'm saying. I'm a farmer. I have the tendency of selling the chicken and its entire
okay, sorry,
body.
That's the part that I missed. By hard body, I thought it's a chicken.
As in, okay. as in, I've just slaughtered the chicken. You guys understand hard body. Hard body means I've slaughtered the chicken. I'm selling the full chicken.
Okay.
It's not from Pick and Pay. As pieces, it's not coming pieces.
Actually, that's a good question, Pamela, because now it's something that I had not thought of, because I'm thinking the act, or when you look at the budget speech, the minister said it's chicken heads
and
right?
feet, for
and
instance.
Feet, meaning exactly. these are pieces of chicken.
Correct.
Yeah. So meaning the actual chicken should still be sold as a standard rated service.
With a VAT increase.
With a VAT increase of 0.5% basis point. Because if you look, he says there will be specific cuts,
mm.
right? He says cuts. And these cuts are chicken heads, chicken feet, giblets, and cleaned intestines. So he's not saying from the chicken you get... because the chicken has a head, therefore
yeah.
it means this will be... a zero rated supply, but because the chicken is the full chicken, this chicken mm. hard body
with the feet
mm. then it's not a chicken cut
mm.
right, therefore it will be sold as a standard rated service or good.
So if you're going to be selling the full chicken, you're going to be paying VAT on that full chicken.
Yes, at 15.5%.
Well, at the increased VAT rate.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted us to get clarity on that. If you are sending an invoice now for a client that pays in 60 days or 90 days or whatever the case may be, what should you be invoicing right now? Let's just say things. So we'll get to the part about, we'll get to the complicated part where perhaps it doesn't change. But let's just say for now, there is a change on the 1st of May.
Yes.
What do we do in my invoice now that I expect to be paid in 90 days' time?
So how it works is you... The VAT rate that you would impose
mm-hmm.
is the one that would be on the invoice date. So it depends when the invoice is issued.
Today.
If you issue the invoice today
mm-hmm.
and the VAT rate today is 15%,
mm-hmm.
so your invoice should be at 15%.
Mm-hmm.
But the trick is, when will the supply be delivered?
Yes.
Right? So if the supply is actually delivered post the 1st of May, so it means... the VAT that is applicable is on the date of the supply, which is 15.5%, because it will be post the 1st of May.
If the supply is a service.
Yes.
In other words, I've rendered a service today. I issue the invoice today. But I do expect that they will pay me in the 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days.
What the date happened. Of payment doesn't matter. If you are registered for VAT, on invoice basis, what is important is the date on which the invoice was issued and the supply was received or the service was received. So if all of that happens before 15.5% is affected, it means you will be charging at 15%. That's the key part.
How do you then account when you account to SARS?
Yes.
Because you were paid that money post the service delivery, right? So when SARS, how does SARS then look at this? Will it be dependent on the date of issue or you said date of issue of the invoice, date of service, but your date of payment is post that? How will then SARS view that?
So SARS looks at the date on which your invoice was issued. That's why there's something called tax invoice. So according to the VAT Act, when you are registered for VAT purposes, then you must issue a tax invoice according to the Section 20, Paragraph 4. So that tax invoice is the one that sort of instructs you to impose VAT on that date the invoice is issued.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take into account where you will receive the payment.
Mm.
That's why you've probably heard sometimes some of the entrepreneurs would say
it's unfair.
Because
you've got the deficit as an entrepreneur. You issued an invoice without the tax
and
increase.
You are expected to pay
to,
VAT
to deliver
while
correct.
Your customers haven't paid you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the bracket creep, which I think intellectually I think makes sense, but in practice, help me out. So I am in bracket X. I am expecting, or the company has announced, that there will be an annual increase of whatever percentage. In actual fact, that moves me up to a bracket, let's just say. And we now are sitting with the current status quo as presented by the minister, because of course things may change. Should I say to my company, I love you folks, do not give me more money, because in actual fact it may make me earn less in the end. Just give me the title. Could I have that conversation? Because if with where we are right now, the bracket creep may mean that in the end, with your increase, you're going to take home less for some.
Mathematically, actually, that's correct, right? And I guess every employer would be able to give you a title and not increase your
salary.
Absolutely. However, the employer, if your salary has been increased, the employer has a responsibility to withhold pay-as-you-earn according to the pay-as-you-earn tables
of
or
course,
tax tables.
Of course.
Right. So, unfortunately, it's not a conversation that is up to you as to how you should be taxed. But if you don't want
an
remuneration increase, then
yes.
I guess it's up to you as an employee. But once you and the employer have agreed on a certain amount that you need to be paid, then
you don't ever say
negotiate
on
how
no,
much
you,
they should withhold.
You,
is.
But you can say, thanks, but no thanks.
That's why sometimes...
So should you be, in practical terms, should you be, honestly speaking, be asking your employer while you have that conversation to say, maybe give me a mock payslip? You can ask for a mock payslip to say, I just want to see what it would look like in the end,
yes,
this proposal.
Yes, you can do that.
You can.
Because then...
Before accepting the
actually,
offer.
Actually, that's what most employers do. Like, if they increase your salary, they would give you a mock payslip to say, okay, now that we are moving you to the next salary brackets, this is how much, you know, your net pay would look like, so that you can budget, you know. But also, that's why there's something called, like... it's called income restructuring, where you could sit with your employer or with your payroll office to say, okay, can you please advise me, instead of getting maybe the 100% as just a salary, maybe I could get travel allowance, That is depending on the fact that you travel to clients for business, you know. So those are the things that could help you in terms of, you know, reducing the total salary that will be in the taxable.
Yes.
Because then with the taxable, with the travel allowance, it will depend on whether you have traveled or not. And those things would sort of help you in terms of reducing the tax payable by you at the end of the tax year of assessment.
Okay. So let's maybe give us an overview then. Let's get back to, you know, part of why we're here. If you can give me an overview of the proposed VAT changes and the percentages. And obviously, we said earlier, we are now working on the basis that it will change. But obviously, we know it's not likely. It may not change.
Mm-hmm. In the event it changes, so currently we're sitting at 15%. Mm-hmm. This is on standard rated supplies. Mm-hmm. It's 15%, and they're saying it could increase on the 1st of May, which is literally next week, to 15.5%. And then it would increase to about 16% by April next year.
Mm.
But when you look at this 15.5%, it looks like, you know, it's only 0.5 basis points. And looking at how VAT had increased in the past, like you'd remember in 1991, it was at 10%. And 2 years later, it increased to about 14%. That was 1993. Mm. And about a decade and a half, 15 years later, which was 2018, it increased to about, I think, 15%.
Mm.
And now this year, they are saying it will increase. It might increase to 15.5%. So moving from 15 to 15.5 in a space of 7 years, it looks like it's not a lot. But again, because it's something that would affect the final consumer, that's why, therefore, it's causing these debates.
Mm.
Because unlike income tax that is paid by people who have earned income, let's say perhaps if you're running a business and then you've generated sales and you are left with net profits, mm-hmm. or you've earned net profits, then you pay income tax on that. And if you are an individual and you are salaried, you'll pay income tax on your remuneration. Now, there must be some form of income for you to pay income tax. But when it comes to VAT, this is something you pay irrespective of whether you have income or not.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning any form of change or any form of increase, it's something that would affect the final consumer.
Hmm. How will... According to the booklet that you have, the bigger version of the budget proposal, how will the changes affect individuals, companies, and those who, I'd say, wealth management?
When it comes to individuals, firstly, individuals, we're talking of people that could be registered for VAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, individuals could register for VAT. These are people who sit in boards of directors as non-executive directors.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they have their income, and if their income, sorry, exceeds 1 million rand over a period of 12 consecutive months, they need to be registered for VAT. So it means also they will have to pay VAT at 15.5%. But this is strictly on income they earn by virtue of them sitting in boards,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are non-executive directors.
Mm-hmm.
And then individuals that are just consumers would be affected by this VAT, because it means now they would have to pay higher prices when they are acquiring goods or services.
Mm.
And it means this would potentially also reduce their purchasing power.
Mm.
And, you know, you might look at 0.5% as a nominal percentage, but when you look at the lower income groups, this is something that will definitely affect their pockets.
Mm.
But another impact would be, it's an inflationary impact in the sense that it will ultimately affect their household spending.
Yeah.
Right. But when you look at businesses, we've already spoken of the administrative burden, the fact that, you know, you'll have to change, businesses will have to change the VAT rate by the 1st of May to 15.5%. And then next year, April 2026, they'll have to change it to 16%. So that is an administrative burden, because I can imagine, especially for small businesses, these are people who need to get IT people to come and change these systems and all that. Yeah. But also think about this, Pamelo. When you also have this business and you are saying consumers, this will affect their purchasing power, it means as a business owner, you'll also have less feet in your business.
Yeah, possibly.
It means
yeah.
also your sales might be affected.
Mm.
If your sales are affected, it means you'll have reduced net profit,
mm-hmm.
and income tax might be affected on the other hand. So while we are trying to increase tax collections using VAT,
mm.
but VAT, I mean, income tax might be affected as well. And ultimately, this would affect our GDP as the country.
Hmm. And so, in your view, would there have been other options outside of the VAT increase?
You know, the VAT increase is a tax reform, mm. and the government depends on taxes in order to take care of essential needs, right? We're talking of things like education,
mm.
health, and all that. But I'm just looking at things like perhaps we should be enhancing the tax compliance.
Mm.
So by tax compliance, I'm talking about when you are a taxpayer or when you earn income, you need to register. When you are expected to, or when you've reached a certain income threshold, and you need to submit the tax return when you are expected to, or before the deadline.
Mm.
And after submitting the tax return, if you are expected to pay, you must pay. Then you are tax compliant.
Mm.
So institutions like SARS, they need to make sure that they apply strict measures on ensuring that people are tax compliant.
Mm.
And in the event that you've registered and submitted your tax return, but you are unable to pay, you should consult SARS so that you enter into payment arrangements where you could pay in installments.
Mm.
But also, maybe there should be harsh consequences on those who evade tax. Now, by evading tax, we mean these are people who are not submitting tax returns when they're expected to do so. And these are people who underdeclare. So let's say you're running a business, you have received certain amount of income, but you decide to disclose some and not declare the other income. So that is tax evasion. Or perhaps you are inflating your expenses with an intention of reducing your taxable profits
mm.
so that you pay reduced taxes.
Mm.
So now, that is against the law. Tax evasion is not permissible. So now, if we were to have stricter rules, you know, against these or harsh consequences against these people who evade tax, at least we perhaps recover more money from these taxpayers or these so-called people mm. that should be paying taxes.
Mm.
And again, Pamela, I'm looking at things like we often hear the Auditor General
mm.
at least once a year. He would read this annual audit report where she says they will quantify irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure. And you're thinking, if all those monies were used for the intended purpose,
mm.
perhaps the Minister of Finance wouldn't be having these challenges that he has right now.
Mm. Yeah. Sure. So we touched a little bit on the zero-rated items. That basket is increased a little bit, has it not? And I'm just wondering how that will affect those who are vendors of that product or shop owners of that product. How will it complicate their own accounting?
It's the same as changing from 15% to 15.5%,
mm.
because all it means is now you'll have to, you know, add your stock code items where you say this item will now be moving from 15% mm. to 0%. So meaning when you scan this at the till, the product at the till, it will have to be flagged at 0%. But in terms of
if we work in reverse, right,
mm.
and let's say that zero rate, that item kicks off being a zero rated item on the 1st of May, but it wasn't before, what then happens now? So you already have the stock, you've already purchased the stock has been delivered. You will only sell it after the 1st of May. It's now zero rated, but you didn't buy it as the distributor at a zero rated price. What then?
Remember, when it comes to VAT, Pamela, unlike income tax, you are just, if you are registered for VAT as a VAT vendor,
yes.
you are just an agent for SARS, right? You're collecting this VAT and then you're paying it over to SARS. So what happens is if the VAT rate is changing, it's like there's a change of use.
So right? they will bring it back
yes,
to you.
Yes.
So SARS would be paying you back yes. for VAT that you were charged but were not supposed to receive.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got you.
Because now there's a change of use from 15% to 0%.
Got you. So the distinction, you wanted to talk about the distinction between VAT and income tax.
So when it comes to, I think this is something we've touched on
a little bit, yeah.
Is because VAT, this is something that is incurred by, I would say, all people that consume goods and services. And unfortunately, it's something that is felt by the final consumer. Because if you are registered for VAT, you would charge, or when you acquire your services or your goods, you would pay VAT to your suppliers, but then you will also charge your customers VAT.
Mm.
Now, you will just do a reconciliation and pay whatever that is due to SARS. So now, the one that suffers the most is the one that is not registered for VAT, who gets to consume these goods, right?
Yes.
Because they will get to absorb that cost. Whereas when it comes, that's why even people like trade unions, mm-hmm. they would be up in arms when they hear that there is a slight change in the VAT rate, because it's affecting the poorest of the poor.
Yeah, because say for instance, you're not registered for VAT and you are selling amagwinya ekhoneni, and you're not registered for VAT, except that the products that you use
are standard rated,
and you are paying the VAT on those goods.
Yes, because when you buy your stock from your supplier, you would have paid VAT at 15%. But now, when you get to consume those products in your business, because you're not VAT registered, you would not benefit, right? And the person who are buying those magwinyas for actual consumption, like as in to eat those magwinyas, they would have to pay 15% if they're buying from a person who's registered for VAT.
Yes, let's say at the store.
Yes, at the store. And unfortunately, they won't be able to recover that VAT because they're not registered for VAT.
Yes. Mm. So if I'm selling at the corner and I'm not registered, I'm just going to have to grin and bear it because I cannot pass it on.
Yes, meaning we're absorbing that cost. Yeah.
Okay, 086-000-0959. I'm told that many of you were already calling. We can also send the voice notes on 063-680-0959 so that we can take in those questions. We don't have much time left, so my suggestion is that you do that quickly now. So in your view, we spoke a little bit about, you know, maybe if we're more compliant, we wouldn't have to be here. but you know, for those, for instance, I could be running a store and not be VAT registered and collecting VAT. What would then the punitive measures be? Are they?
Firstly, when you are not VAT registered, you shouldn't be collecting VAT.
Oh, of course. But I mean, I'm doing it deliberately.
Because remember, we spoke about the tax invoice.
Yeah.
So the tax invoice, one of the requirements of the tax invoice is you need to show the VAT amount that you are charging and the VAT rate. Now, when you are not registered for VAT, you can issue a tax invoice, but you can issue an invoice, meaning just a document that shows how much you are charging for your goods.
Yeah.
So it would be illegal of you to charge VAT if you are not registered for VAT. But should SARS find out that actually your revenue...
Yeah. You've been collecting VAT.
Yes.
From
you've
others.
Been collecting VAT, yes, and you're not registered.
But you're not.
Yes, that's a legal issue.
Yes.
And you should face the jail term, because now you are collecting money from your customers that you're not even taking to SARS. However, sometimes you might find that what you've been collecting, exclusive of VAT, exceeds R1 million in a period of 12 consecutive months. Then SARS would force you to register.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and then you become a VAT vendor, meaning now you are forced to become the government agent to collect this VAT on behalf of the government.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's not up to you as to when to register.
Oh,
as long as you have exceeded that R1 million threshold over a period of 12 consecutive months. Yeah.
So you can decide, I don't want the admin. Once you've gone past the R1 million threshold, you just...
It's compulsory.
You have to do what you've got to do.
And should SARS find out and they realize that, say now, they find out now in April that you actually exceeded the threshold last year, December.
Yeah.
They will have to backdate your debt of liability to say, from December, you should be paying VAT plus penalties and interest because you were expected to register, but you didn't. right? So therefore you've been, so they would assume that the amount of money that you've collected from your supply, from your customers, was inclusive of VAT. Then you'd have to pay VAT, even if you did not charge your customers.
And it doesn't matter even if you can prove that.
That you did not charge them, no. Because the assumption now is whatever that you charged
know them better.
Was inclusive of VAT. Yes, yes.
And so if that happens, in other words, it happens unknowingly. My business model was not intending to be, I'm selling amagwinya. I really had no, I didn't expect to be selling amagwinya of over R1 million in that year. But I do get to do that. What then, in the interim, without having registered for VAT?
I guess you would have to explain your case to SARS, you know, to say, you know what, you are an expert when it comes to making amagwinya, but you didn't have an understanding of
that amagwinya, you know, will get me to exactly, million and above.
You know, so what would happen is it wouldn't change the fact that you are liable for VAT.
Even if I did not collect it.
Even if you didn't, yes.
Goodness.
However, it would work, it might work to your favor in terms of penalties and interest, where they say, okay, you are still liable for VAT, but they might not impose penalties and interest.
And as you're saying, even if I did not receive VAT, you must still pay it.
That's why I'm saying the assumption is the amount that you have charged your customers, it's assumed, would be assumed to have been inclusive of VAT. This is depending on the fact that you, the goods that you were issuing were standard rated supplies.
Yes, absolutely. Supplies. Yeah. As I said, amagwinya. In this case, amagwinya, if I were VAT registered, they would be standard rated items.
So another example would be, Pamela, let's say you run a business and maybe you own a block of flats and then you are renting out the rooms to your tenants for residential purposes.
Yes.
Now, residential accommodation does not attract VAT. It's an exempt supply. So when you issue invoices to your tenants, you would not charge VAT. Now, let's say you run that business and you end up exceeding a threshold of R1 million.
Yeah.
You're still not expected to register for VAT because you haven't exceeded R1 million on taxable supplies.
Got you.
However, let's say now you decide to add other services.
For that property.
Yes. But now, also those services, as long as they don't exceed R1 million, you are still not expected because they will be looked at in isolation.
Gotcha.
They won't be aggregated where you say exempt plus taxable supplies.
I've got Alfred on the line who's calling from Kempton Park. Hello, Alfred.
Hello, ma'am. Are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I'm okay.
Good. Go ahead with your question. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Could I just inquire, is someone kind of runs like something like a B&B or sport, or maybe like a rental? No one is in rent out space to a person. And the question is, do such people need to get registered their business as under that or something like that?
Running a B&B.
Yeah. So when you're running a business and you are rendering or you are providing a commercial accommodation, you need to be registered for VAT. So the only one where you don't necessarily need to be registered is when it's a residential accommodation. Remember, now your guests will be coming here and occupying your premises for a short period of time. So they won't be residing there on a full-time basis. So it's a commercial accommodation and you must be registered for VAT, because you will be rendering a taxable supply. I hope that was clear.
Alfred, are you able to hear?
Not really, ma'am.
Okay.
Just repeat that
and get maybe closer to the mic.
Okay, so we have, Alfred, we have residential accommodation and commercial accommodation. So as much as Airbnb, people would be residing there, but they would be residing for a short period of time. So because it would be a short period of time, they won't be staying there on a full-time basis, you will have to be registered for VAT because it won't be an exempt supply. So you will be selling taxable supplies. So as soon as whatever that you'll be collecting from your customers exceeds R1 million in a space of 12 consecutive months, you'll have to be registered for VAT.
But the rent, it would be the rental per day, so to speak, is not, you are not supposed to be VAT. You don't have to be VAT registered.
If you don't exceed R1 million in a space of 12 months.
So there's a distinction between that, the B&B, and home rental?
And home rental.
Did you get that, Alfred?
So the home rental is the residential accommodation.
What if the amount seems to be under a million?
You don't need to be registered.
Because you know when you rent out to people, it's not an everyday business.
If your connections
do you still submit those documents to SARS?
You don't need to. But if you want to register, you can voluntarily register, provided your collections are over 300,000 rands in a space of 12 consecutive months. But it's not compulsory.
You don't have to, Alfred. You don't have to. If it's under a million, you don't have to.
All right. Okay, thanks very much, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Alfred. Okay, I think that's a very important distinction, because that, you know, Airbnb is interesting in that way. There are people who advertise their properties on Airbnb, and you can have the choice. You can rent it out for the day, or you can rent it out for the year or 2 years or whatever the case may be. And so when you then account, you would have to then comply with what it is that you receive the money for.
That's correct. Because, like I said, you know, a good example is that one of the flats.
It's residential.
Right? Yeah. But it's residential. So now when it comes to commercial accommodation, it becomes residential if that's a good question that you've just asked. If the tenant has spent more than 28 consecutive days in the same room, then it changes from commercial to residential, but only 60% of that becomes taxable supply. So you see, now you'll find yourself as a supplier having combo of services,
yes,
where you have taxable supplies and exempt supplies.
Mm-hmm.
If
that is a seasonal thing,
yes,
how do I then account for it? In other words, I don't know.
Yes, I
guess you use it as a holiday home.
Yes.
Right? And people stay, let's say December period, it's you've got kind of longish kind of days where somebody then takes it for X or the family, whatever the case
is. So for you to be registered for VAT as a VAT vendor, when you go to SARS, you submit historic information. They look at your financial records to say, in the past, how much have you earned that had exceeded this threshold, which was part of taxable supplies,
mm-hmm,
and other supplies. Actually, they won't care about other supplies.
Yeah, because for now,
Yes, that is taxable supplies. So if they look at the historic period and they see that you've actually earned more than a million, so now if you separate these services where you had the ones that was taxable and if the other one was used for exempt, it's okay. Then if it exceeds a million, they will force you to be registered for VAT. So now, meaning your holiday people that were spending more than 28 days in the same room in your accommodation, and 60% of that was more than a million rand, then you'll have to be registered for VAT.
But see, how do you account for, say, you said services, and I don't know whether a furnished rental home, the rental with the furniture, would you call the furniture part services? Because it's an additional amount. You see what I'm saying? So you have the exempt part, residential. You have a family staying there for, I don't know, 12 months or whatever the case may be. Except that the price of that changes because you now have suddenly added a furnished home. Would you call the furnished part a service?
It's a service because it's everything that is included there. So when a person is renting this space, they're renting the space, which is the square meters, including the furniture that is there.
So it's not a separate, you include that together with that.
You include that together. So meaning, if I'm renting the accommodation that is furnished,
mm-hmm,
but I'm going to occupy it for residential purposes,
yes,
then it's still an exempt supply.
Okay.
But now if I'm occupying it and it's something that I'm just going to occupy temporarily, as like, I mean, I'm going to the hotel for 3 days, that is just a commercial service. Yeah.
If you occupy that property, but it has, for instance, and I know it sounds a little bit like I'm adding on problems, but I think it's important. You have there like domestic help. I don't know, domestic help, security, and you are anyway most rendering a service.
Yes.
The domestic help and the security would be separate itemized services.
So now you're asking if in your invoice, so
in my invoice,
you are issuing to your tenant, right?
Well, most importantly, what I'm accounting to SARS for.
Mm.
So I have decided that I'm going to rent this place out.
Mm-hmm.
But to make it attractive, I say to this family, I'll throw in the helper. I'll throw in a guard. Sometimes it's a contract with one of these security companies.
Mm-hmm.
And you are paying extra for that.
Mm.
In other words, for the extra help and the security, that's a separate invoice. How do you account for that? It's not part of this building and the rental accommodation.
But if you provide these as services, then you have to charge VAT on this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, you have to charge because this
on the separate two because.
Yes.
The home is exempt, but not these two.
But now, remember, when you issue an invoice, when you issue an invoice, this will have to include everything. It's including occupying the space, plus there's this help, which is the cleaning of the premises, and the person who's looking after the premises. It could be a security guard, right? So you're issuing an invoice that says all these items, and then you'll be charging VAT. But also, it's
important... Would you be charging VAT?
You would be charging VAT because now, remember, this person is coming to your hotel. Let's say your premises is a hotel or something.
Except
right?
that they're staying for 12 months.
If they're staying for 12 months, remember we said if they're occupying for more than 28 days, 60% of that will have to be exempt. Right. So not the entire amount.
Mm.
It's because remember, your accommodation was meant to be used as
residential.
Not as residential, but as a commercial accommodation, right? As a hotel, for example. But now you have this guest that wants to occupy it for a period of 12 months.
It's the other way around. It's Tando and her family
is
asking to rent out the home for 12 months or even maybe giving me
what was the primary purpose of the home? Was it to rent
residential?
Okay,
if it's residential,
but
then I hoy in Tando, you know, Osmaria, I'm moving to Cape Town. Do you want to? And she says, no, that's fine. You can continue having your contract with her. I'll pay you. Charge me. Do you want me to cancel my subscription to the security company? She says, no, for now, you can carry it on. Invoice me. That's what I'm saying. In that instance, I'm not running a business in the sense that it's not commercial, but I've got these added-ons.
But now that is part of the rental agreement.
Correct.
Right? And this home is used for residential purposes.
Yes, yes.
And we are saying... If the home or the property is used for residential properties purposes, so it's an exempt supply. So the services that you'll be adding there, they are
so
part of the
exemption. I am going to have to absorb the VAT that the security company is charging me. That's what it means.
Okay, here's the part that is important that we must also not confuse with VAT. When it comes to the security and the domestic, remember there is a service, but also there are human beings that you are paying. And these human beings, when you pay them, their services, or not necessarily services, the remuneration that you pay them does not attract VAT. You must be careful of that. So now, this service that you're charging the people is because there is cleaning that is happening, right? You're charging them for cleaning. But when you pay the domestic worker for working, that does not attract VAT because now the domestic worker, you are paying her a salary, right? Because she's in your house. Now, the salary does not attract VAT because it's a financial service.
But the two would be different. There would be the domestic worker who I'm probably paying directly.
Yes.
There would be the security contract. So the person that's going to be in the house or looking after the house, I'm not paying directly. I'm paying a contract to these security companies.
Now that
which is
one
going
is
to
different.
Be which is going to be charging me VAT.
Yes, yes. Now how it works with exempt supply is when you provide exempt supplies, you're not allowed to claim VAT from expenses that you would have incurred. Because you are also not charging your customers VAT. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So all the expenses that you would have incurred, electricity, security, and whatnot.
Yes.
Yes. There would be VAT there.
Yes.
That you'll have to absorb.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yes. Because you're not charging your customers VAT. Yeah.
Oh, my word. So the water and electricity bill that comes to you as the owner, with that, you cannot charge the tenant the VAT.
Because the service that you are rendering, remember, it's an exempt supply. You are not registered for VAT.
That's a very interesting one.
Because if you are not registered for VAT, Pamelo, you cannot charge other people VAT.
I fully hear you.
And you cannot claim VAT while you are not registered for VAT.
Wait. Mudibedi, Tando is my tenant.
Yes. Ne?
Tando being my tenant is consuming the water and electricity. Mm. But the bill is mine because I'm the one registered with the municipality.
Okay, let's start from this, Pamelo. Are you registered for VAT?
No, I'm not. But the municipality charges me the VAT.
Yes.
Right? So what I'm asking is that when I get my water and electricity bill, which I will then invoice Tando for usage, do I subtract the VAT amount?
No, because you're not registered for VAT.
Yes.
Yes.
So I just pay the municipality.
So when we say you absorb cost, when you receive an invoice from the municipality, let's say it's 1,000 rand.
I pay the municipality, that's fine.
Yes.
What must Tando pay me if it's 1,000 rand?
Yes, and now you want to charge. If you want to add a service fee, let's say your service fee, maybe it's 100 rands, you know, for handling that bill, you're going to charge Tando 1,100. You're not supposed to add VAT because the amount that is inclusive of VAT that you receive from the municipality, that becomes your new cost, right?
Oh,
that's why we are saying you absorb the cost.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So if I'm not charging a service fee, because I'm also not an agent in a way.
So you're just, relay the amount.
So Mina, I give Tando she needs to see her bill.
Yes.
She gets to see the bill. Does she pay me what the municipality has asked for?
Yes. Then it means the amount that is at the bottom in the invoice, that's the amount that Tando will have to pay you.
But then I don't pay it forward to SARS. That's where I'm stuck.
Yes. You don't, because you are not registered for VAT.
And so that's okay.
Yes.
I'm not going to be asked tomorrow, why didn't you pay forward the VAT that you received?
Yes, because
from Tando.
No, you did not receive VAT from Tando. This is how it works. The municipality charged you, let's say maybe it was 850 rands, right? Exclusive of VAT. Then they added VAT. Let's just assume it becomes 1,000 rand inclusive of VAT.
Yeah.
Now it means you've paid municipality 850 plus 150. Now you're sitting with 1,000 rand.
Exactly.
When you look at your invoice, the amount that is at the bottom, which is 1,000 rand, is the one that you will charge Tando. Because you are not registered for VAT. So you're not even talking about VAT to Tando. You are talking about the amount that you've paid the municipality, the total amount. Because you are absorbing the VAT portion because you're not registered for VAT. So meaning the amount inclusive of VAT becomes your new cost to Tando. So you can't be saying to Tando, I'm going to charge you only 850 because the other part was VAT.
Mm-hmm.
No, because you're not registered for VAT, the total amount becomes your new cost. So that's why then there is this issue of if you're not registered for VAT, or the final consumer is the one that gets to absorb the VAT, because now you paying that, or you've paid that VAT to the municipality, but you're not going to get it back from SARS because you are also not charging your customers.
There's a call. Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome. Hello, Dr. Selby.
Good evening, Pamela and my sister. How are you?
We're good. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
How are you? So if you charge a tenant, how? So when you're saying charge your tenant, do you mean charge VAT to your tenant?
let's say Metrolink electricity, there 3,000. Then the company VET, there 3,500. Like much as 3,500, I can separate your 520 kia VET.
Yes, because you are not registered for VETs in that SLP. So in your in your invoice, you'll have the rental amount and then water and electricity, everything would be equal to 3.5. This 3.5 is what you're going to charge your tenant. You're not talking about VET at all. And you are not allowed to mention anything VET because you are not VET registered.
That is why I can charge it as long as I fit tightly out.
No, you cannot charge it, meaning you will absorb what you would have incurred. So if your electricity included VAT, you will absorb that amount of money. And then if your meter included VAT, you will also absorb it, right? And then your invoice now will be inclusive of the VAT that you would have paid the municipality. And then that total amount is the one that you will perhaps charge your tenant, or you will include your markup. But you're not saying there is VET that is included here that I'm charging you, but I'm not going to say it's VET. You're not talking about VET. This VET, you would have absorbed it.
No, okay. I get it.
Yes. It's like, for example, and that is, if you go to a grocery shop and you are not registered for VET, when you get to the till, let's say you've bought a cup. When you buy a cup, and they say this cup is 100 rands, and then when they include VAT at 15 rands, it's 115 rands. When you go and sell the cup, you don't say, I bought this cup for 100 rands plus 15 rands, now it was 115, therefore I'm going to charge you 120. This 120 includes VAT. You don't mention all of that to your customer. All you say is, the cup cost me 115 rands. You're no longer even talking about the 15 rands that was VAT because you're not VAT registered. So you look at the bottom amount in your invoice, which is 115 rands, and then you add your markup, and then you charge your customer 120 rands. That's how it is. So that's how you would have absorbed the VAT amount because you're not VAT registered. Yes.
No, I get it clear.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Dr. Selby. Thank you. Okay, there is a question from Popo. It says, what if my property is registered for student accommodation? It's not residential, it's student accommodation. Is it commercial?
Remember, that's when the students are occupying for more than 28 days.
Yeah.
So it's residential.
Is it residential?
Yes,
got you.
Yes, yes.
So there is no need
to
register for VAT?
No.
And it doesn't matter how much he's making.
Because now this is an exempt supply. Yeah. And if you're not sure of whether you are rendering exempt, standard, or zero-rated supply, you know, this is something that you can get for free from SARS. You know, either you go to their website or you go to a SARS branch, and then you explain the nature of services that you are rendering, and they'll be able to help you, because you don't want to find yourself
after the fact.
Yes, where they say these services are taxable supplies and you should have charged VAT.
They're going to say uzega.
No.
Dalasic food.
So SARS, they use the tax acts, you know, so they don't tell you what you should be applying based on how they feel on that day, you know. So they would refer to the VAT Act, what the VAT Act says.
Except that you made the point earlier that there is a difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance.
Yes.
That for me is very important, because smart people know how to pay less tax. And they're not necessarily being criminals, but they are being smart about their money. And I think that's what people are trying to, you know, to familiarize themselves with, to say, how do I make my money stretch, you know, more than it is? How do I optimize the little rents that I'm making?
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to tax avoidance, this is part of tax planning, where, excuse me, you sit with the experts, the tax experts or a tax practitioner, where they would guide you, you know, as to how you could avoid tax or reduce the tax liability yes. in a permissible manner.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, some people would be running their own businesses and they decide, instead of taking salaries, maybe I want to take dividends after I've paid everything else in the business. Then whatever that remains, I want it to be distributable to me, and then it will be dividends and I'll be paying less tax as opposed to taking salaries. Except that the downside is dividends are not tax deductible. So that is tax planning, you know, where you sit and you compare different, let's say, methods, and then you choose which one you'll go for, because you would have reduced your tax liability. But tax evasion, like we said earlier on, this is a person who's deciding on his own to say, I am literally running away. I don't want to disclose or declare all the income that I've earned because I don't want to pay tax or I want to pay reduced taxes. So here, this is not any form of a formal scheme, you know. This is something that you would be doing because you are considered to be a criminal, because it's not permissible and it's illegal. Or sometimes other people will declare the entire income. These are people perhaps who work with, let's say, with government, where if your client, it's a department of X, and you know that SARS can always verify the amount of revenue that you've earned, you know, via the state parts, which is Department of X. Then you disclose the entire amount that you have earned, but you inflate expenses so that you reduce your taxable income. You know, that is still tax evasion. And how people would inflate their expenses is, for example, by bringing in personal or private expenses into the income statement of the business so that they are seen as if they've incurred those expenses for business purposes, while they're not. And Section 23 of the Income Tax Act clearly prohibits the claiming or the deduction of private expenses.
Well, okay, so we'll have part two where you're going to take us through some more detail next week. So let's make a date next week this time where you'll take us through some of the stuff. I think some of our heads are a little bit hotter than others. You can tell who did maths. You can tell who's a finance head and who's not a finance head. Busi, thank you. How do people get hold of your services?
Thank you very much, Pamela, and thank you for having me. Thank you, Mitibedi. Our phone number is 010-824-0134. It's 010-824-0134, or they could email us on info@netvest.co.za, or they can visit us to our offices, 2 Mott Street in Sandt.
All right. Busi Mdletshe is the CEO of NetVest, and yeah, we'll have part two so that we can iron out some of the details. So I suppose I said to her, she must be easy today. Next week she'll have a bit more, yeah, quite technical stuff to deal with, and we'll be able to answer your questions. I see them. So what I think you should do, send them in anyway. You can also send them via an email, pov@kai959.co.za, so that we'll be able to forward them. And then when we come back next week, we'll be able to respond to that.
Click kai959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.